Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Joining me here at the roundtable, I have some dynamic seniors who are going to share what they are experiencing this year. Morgan Zettel. Morgan is a senior at Lincoln High School. She's in the softball and SGA and student body and yearbook.
Hi.
Hi.
Glad to have you.
Thank you.
Hannah Carroll. Hannah's been with us for a while. We're always glad to have her. She also is a senior at Rickards IB. Her interests are computer science and research.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Lauren Shirley, really glad to have her back. Haven't had her seen her in a while. She's a senior at Florida High. Journalism, SGA, yearbook, sports, those are all her thing.
Yes, ma'am. Great to be back.
Sarah McCracken, Florida High, basketball, traveling with family.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks for coming. And Callie King. Callie, Florida High, yearbook, traveling, and history.
Yes, great to be here.
Glad to have you, too. The senior year of high school is often regarded as one of the most stressful years of the high school years. Between celebration and angst, senior year is hectic. It dictates decisions about the future. Do you go directly to college? Do you take a year off? Do you volunteer? Do you pursue employment or explore a military career? Let's look at what you all are going to do. All of you are high school seniors, and again, congratulations to you and much appreciation for coming to participate on this program. How do you feel about the culmination of your academic efforts coming to an end? What's going on with you? Whoever wants to start, you're on the hot seat. I got you.
As far as academics, there's two ways most people take their senior year. They either take like a lazy senior year and try to relax and have fun and just enjoy being a kid still. And that's how I intended to take my senior year, since I'm going to college for softball. I knew I didn't need the credits. I didn't need the GPA. So I went in thinking that I was going to do that, and that's what I should, and that was probably the smart idea. And when I went to fill out my course request forms, that was not the case. I ended up taking three AP and then three, like, involved extracurriculars, like SGA and yearbook. So I ended up not taking an easy senior year. And at first, I definitely regretted it because of the stress that I added to myself that I didn't need and that I didn't have to have. But in the hindsight, like, I'm glad I am doing all this because it is not only preparing me for college, like adding all this weight and the different aspects of my life that I'm taking on right now, mm-hmm. but also the just that I know that I can do it and that I can be fine in college with all the independence and the time that
Thanks for sharing with us, Morgan. What about the rest? What about you, Hannah? Where are you at? What's happening?
I think the dichotomy that she set up is right, but I'm trying to balance the two because at Rickards, I'm in the International Baccalaureate Program, the IB, and it's senior year. It really turns into like an all-consuming beast because in all of your classes, you're typically testing out at the end of the year, and you have to write a research paper or at least the framework of one for each of your classes. So that's the trajectory that I set myself up for, so I'm not like surprised by it. But academics are definitely amped up. But I'm also realizing that like the group of people that I've been with since sixth grade are going to be dispersing really soon. And you know, I've gotten to the point where I know which ones I like and I'm invested in, and the ones that I like, you know, I want good things for them, but like I won't care afterwards. So I think I'm just trying to get the most out of the people that I know I'll miss during the time too.
Okay. What about the rest of you? What does senior year mean to you?
Go for it. I agree with Morgan and Hannah a lot. I think I truly have found myself to be in more difficult classes at Florida High, And honestly, it's something I'm proud that I actually did, because I know it is easy to kind of take that lazy route. But I think definitely in hindsight, it will impact me for the better going into college and knowing that taking those harder courses, it won't be as rough of a transition going to that next level.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, where you sit, Miss Lauren?
Well, I've been at Fort High as well since kindergarten. So just having each year, like, it increasingly gets more difficult, of course. That's what high school is. But just coming to the last year, it's a little surreal because you don't realize that it's quite the end yet. But I agree with what they're saying. Like, colleges definitely look at rigor senior year and if you take difficult courses. So I think that it's more beneficial for you to stack your course load to be heavier your senior year to show that you're serious about what you're doing if you do choose to go to college after high school.
And you raise a good point, because lots of times people think that that senior year, oh, I can kind of slack off. And there have certainly been times where individuals have slacked and gotten poor grades their senior year, and their college admissions have been rescinded. Now, that's hard to believe, but, you know, they can just have done real well all along. And then that senior year, they just got a laissez-faire kind of attitude that really did some real damage to their grade point. Yes, ma'am, you were drafted, but you're here, and I'm so glad to have you. Callie, share with us what the senior year means to you.
Well, coming to my senior year, I really didn't see it as an option to take easy classes as much as I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of what I continued with on with my extracurricular and everything like that. I ended up taking 5 APs, which I regretted a lot, and I ended up pulling out of one just because I thought that the coursework was just going to be too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I am involved in extracurriculars too, so I just wanted to focus more on those as well. I'm working towards my gold award this year for Girl Scouts, and that's, like, a lot of work, too.
Yeah.
So I think I was more drawn to taking AP classes my senior year because I want to look good to colleges, of course, and I feel like I've known a lot of people that just take easy classes, and they obviously aren't always going to look as good, because when you challenge yourself, then you show them that you're ready for college, and, you know.
Mm-hmm. And college will be easier.
Yeah, and you might not make the best of grades in those AP classes, but you look better than
right.
An A in
your
class. Maybe.
When you all sit back and think about it, I know the year is still ahead of you, but at this point, what would you identify as your major stressors, your major demands, real things that are just kind of nagging at you as to what you have to do?
College applications and standardized testing.
Yeah.
Sure. Those are
yes.
two questions I was going to ask you about. Great.
It's just like deadlines from universities that you have to get for your standardized testings. So you just have to make sure that you're taking these tests enough to get the scores that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very demanding.
Okay. Everybody agree? Comments?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think, like, at Rickards, I love Rickards. I, like, recommend it to everyone. But, like, an emphasis wasn't placed as much on test scores because, like, and I felt like it hit me like a freight train, like, junior year, but especially senior year. And, like, I don't know. We're so inundated with the IB program that other aspects of, I guess, college admissions aren't really stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, those, the ACT, the SAT, the SAT subject tests, and IB exams are just, like, you know, it's a lot of standardized testing in a short period of time, and all of your results matter so much, and it's a lot, and it's also tied very, like, explicitly to your value, which is, I feel like kind of icky, because it, and from a college admission standpoint, I get it, but, like, you, every test matters, not only for, like, admissions purposes, but they impact the way that you view yourself. And I've seen a lot of people who, I guess, expect, you know, the world from their scores. They expect to be better than everyone else around them. And when that doesn't happen, they go through, like, a moral and, like, self-esteem crisis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you all feel about standardized tests? Do you think they are necessary?
Personally, I feel like they honestly just bring people down. So, I guess a more personal story, my first AP class, I didn't pass. And so, of course, here I am, a ninth grader, thinking, oh my gosh, like, what am I doing? I made an A throughout the whole course, and now I don't pass the test, so I'm not getting that credit. So, I just feel like it's not an accurate portrayal of what you actually gained from the course. Mm-hmm. So you may get these questions that are on topics that you weren't specifically keen on, and then based off of that, you're not passing. And so, honestly, I feel like they don't do much, not for me personally. Maybe other people feel differently, but I just feel like they're unnecessary.
Well, how do the rest of you feel?
Well, for me, like, once again, I don't really have to worry too much about my test scores and stuff, but, like, everyone around me, whether they're in 6 AP or none, I think what I view is that, like, I see everyone around me, like, they're, I don't know if it's actually true as far as college applications go or, like, acceptance rates, but right now, as, like, a bunch of tests are being given out, that those are outweighing the GPAs and the resumes right now. Mm-hmm. And so some people might be in, like, I have a friend that's in 6 AP classes but did not get a very good score at all on their SAT, and the fear that that's defining her so much and that she's not going to get into any college at all, just, like, it, like, hurts my heart that, like, she does so hard in school and she does, like, she does all her homework, she does, but the fact that she's not a good test taker, or that the way that this certain test is worded, and it's not like you have another option. I mean, I guess technically SAT versus ACT, but this, it's all the same, and every human being is different, and every mind works differently, so the whole idea of standardizing your future is not the best.
You agree? Disagree?
Yeah. I kind of think it's unfair in a way, because, I mean, I have worked so hard throughout high school, and my ACT may not be as best as the next person who didn't work as hard, but if that person got a 30-something on the ACT, they're going to accept it over me, even though I may have a better GPA, which is kind of unfair to me.
Yeah, I think the main thing that the ACT and the SAT tests is your ability, like, this may seem kind of counterintuitive, but it's your ability to study for and perform on the test. And it's not, it's definitely not a direct indicator of raw intelligence, but it's something that you can work towards. And I think that from a college's perspective, there needs to be a metric that everyone can have access to compare students across the spectrum. So I understand why it's in place, but I recognize that it's imperfect.
Yeah, and there are some schools that are recognizing that. Now, they are not as heavily weighted as they used to be with college admission. That just depends on the university. But there are some that, you know, look at other things. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and I'm having a very informative program with seniors in high school. We're going to take a break, and then we'll get right back to the demands of the senior year. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. And this edition of 411 Teen is looking at the senior year and the demands and the stressors that are associated with your last year of high school. Joining me, I have five young women from Lincoln, FSU, and Rickards. We're missing Leon. Leon, where are you? But what I would like, I wonder how you all feel. Do you feel that we, when I say we, society, have created an achievement culture where students are pressured to start earlier and earlier, to focus on what they're going to do and where they're going to live and, you know, what they're going to do with their lives? And do you think this is healthy? Whomever, go for it.
I think we've kind of moved away from the idea of high school as a period of, like, self-discovery, or as a period where you get to, like, I mean, I know I love the musical Grease, and, like, in, I guess, it seems as if during those times, or at least in the idealized version of, like, high school in the past, you would spend time with your friends, you would get your first taste of freedom, but now I feel like, you know, we're breeding kids to be young professionals, and that can be beneficial from the perspective, well, yeah, that can help you if you're trying to get into a career like academia, where the earlier you start, the better. But, like, I mean, I have I have a LinkedIn profile, and that makes me feel very grown up now. Uh-huh. But, like, sometimes I wonder if we're compromising, like, an essential portion of childhood where we should be formulating our identity.
Where do you all sit? Because it seems to me, as someone who's been out of high school a long time, but, you know, I've had my daughters go through high school, and I've been doing 411 teen for over 20 years, and it seems like you all are more and more pressured. That's what I see. Now, I mean, my perspective may be wrong, and that's why I'm asking you this question. It just seems like you don't have time to just chill and just hang out.
I definitely feel like it's changed, especially over generations, mm-hmm. and with the progression of technology and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a higher demand for the younger generation that we are to specialize mm-hmm. in something and be able to really excel in that. And I definitely feel even more, like, bad for the people younger than I am, because I know in elementary mm-hmm. school they're learning stuff that I didn't learn until, like, middle school, some things. So it's definitely more higher and higher pressure for younger kids getting up there, too. But it's definitely a very competitive, like, field, college and college applications and stuff, because you have to stand out among your peers. And it's just kind of difficult when, I don't know, everything's the same and you're just trying to.
I see you nodding your head.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I know that sometimes it can be difficult to find that balance between being prepared for the next level and being prepared for life. And then also there's the other side of the spectrum where you just go into college and not know what even to do. Uh-huh. And my sister, who graduated 2014, she definitely complained a lot about not being prepared, not feeling like she knew how to, you know, go into the classroom, know what type of situation she'd be put in. And I think that in a way, the preparation, the early stages, is beneficial, because I'd like to know that, you know, going to a class, you may have 300, 400 students and not be led on to think that all college classes are that 1 to 15, 1 to 20 ratio. And so mm-hmm. it's stuff that early preparation, in my opinion, I think it is beneficial and helpful, just from that aspect of not being babied all the way up and through senior year.
Okay. Yeah. Other opinions?
Well, for me, as my aspect, and, like, my personal viewpoint, like, for sports now, it's, like, for softball to commit to, like, a major Division I school, the majority of recruits are eighth graders, which is crazy to think that you have to decide. It's crazy to think that you have to decide what college you want to spend in.
Say that to me again. Really?
Yeah. Like, when I go to these big showcases that showcase your talent, yeah. College coaches are all over. My age division, which is, well, it was 16 under this past year, has no coaches, because everyone should be committed by then. And so you usually commit when you're 12 to 14.
That is crazy.
So the fact that you, wow. It's not necessarily academics and you don't have to prepare the classroom setting, but the major decision that they're making to commit themselves to 4 years of college when they're when they're 12 is ridiculous. And I definitely think that it's grown the sport in general, which it does have some benefits, and it's definitely getting more competitive, but the pressure that it puts on kids, and that, like, it's not, you don't have the time, just like being a kid, you don't have time to be a kid, you don't have mm-hmm. time to have fun when you play, because you have to start recruiting, like, as soon as you can. So that whole aspect, it does have some pros, but it's definitely changed, and it's definitely crazy.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was at that early, eighth grade.
Yeah. Eighth grade to freshman year is about when it happens.
Mm. Okay. All right. Let's look at some of the pitfalls that may occur during this senior year. And I think one of them that we might identify, we've kind of alluded to it, is the whole senioritis, so to speak. You know, that period where you do, and it seems like you should have senioritis to me. You know, you want to cruise for a while. Why can't you just kind of cruise? You've been working all this time. But, you know, whenever you do any research and looking at senior year, one of the pitfalls always identified is senioritis. How do you all plan to avoid this?
Or do you plan to avoid this? We can't. They can't see your faces there.
Yeah.
So how do you plan to handle it?
I know.
It's just getting burnt out, basically. Yeah. That's what it is.
I don't know if this is healthy, but it's what I do. If, like, one of the places where I get the best work done is Strozier Library, because I notice that everyone is so, like, everyone is hunkered down over their laptops, and I get the feeling that if I stop working, then they'll continue working, and then I'll be, like, outstripped and left behind in the world of academia. And I think that, like, if you surround yourself by a group of very motivated individuals, and if you're in a, like, a positive competitive atmosphere, then you can motivate each other, and that can help you get through it. But, I also see what you're saying in the fact that, like, you know, we have to be happy sometime, we have to relax sometime, and, you know, summer after senior year, I think I'll be a bum for a bit. But, I'd try to stay around people that are intelligent and that can help me, and are just, like, positive.
Okay, Morgan, what do you do? Although I know you can cruise, I guess, to some degree.
I am cruising to some degree. As far as academics, I'm not necessarily in, like, very hard workloads, but I definitely just have a lot of responsibilities. Like, I'm student body president at Lincoln, and then I'm on the yearbook staff, and I'm in Children's Home Society. I do a lot of different things, but they're not necessarily, like, things I can study for, things that, like, I can do. So for me, with, like, I do have, like, three AP classes, so I do have some homework, but just, like, for me, like, time management is, like, my biggest thing, just because I can't study and I can't prepare for some of the things that I have to do in my life. So just making sure that I can fit in everything and not skip anything, or, like, I don't know. One big thing at Lincoln is attendance, and we have so many kids that it's really hard to, like, emphasize it a lot. So the whole, like, we don't have, like, it's like four absences and it's an attendance failure. But our guidance department is sort of lenient. So I think that the whole idea of senioritis is very prominent in big schools like mine, because it's so hard to keep the school itself to keep your students accountable. So it's more individual. And as a senior, they are more likely to slack off, especially for the people that don't want to go to a big school, or they aren't trying to perform to their highest abilities. So I think senioritis is definitely a real big problem at bigger schools and, like, my school. But I think for my life, it's more individual mindsets and just making goals for myself and trying to accomplish them, not necessarily in the classroom.
Okay. What about you, Kelly?
I think at my school I'm known for missing a lot, but I think that what a lot of people fail to realize is that I stay home and I work on schoolwork.
Oh, okay.
So it feels so much better to be caught up and, like, take a day just to work on it all instead of taking away from, like, your Saturday, which is, like, the only day you really get where you really can do things. But that's what I'll do every once in a while. But also I can get stressed out because I feel like I'm falling behind and missing a lot in school, which is, you know, also
so
downfall.
So it's a double edged.
Yeah, but.
Yes, May.
Senioritis. Okay, so at Florida High, we're a K-12 school, and I've been there since kindergarten, so I can definitely testify that, like, senioritis is a real thing. Like, I've been there since kindergarten. I'm ready to leave. Like, you know, it's just like you're at your last year and you're like, it's almost over. So you definitely want to slack off. And I can say that I've had it since, like, ninth grade, but you just have to, like, stay on top. Like Morgan was saying, like, I'm the editor-in-chief of my journalism at Florida High. I'm in yearbook. I'm in SGA, too. It's just like you have a lot of responsibilities that you have to be held accountable for. So you just kind of have to pick yourself up and, like, realize, like, all you have to do and how it'll be beneficial to you in the future that you did it, because people are relying on you heavily.
And I see you nodding your head. What would you like to add to that?
I think just listening to what everyone had to say, it sounds like in a way we all keep ourselves busy, which sounds contradictory to cruising, so to speak, but it definitely does. Having something to do keeps you from that mindset of, oh, well, maybe I can just slack off, and then slack off turns into missing class, you know, that progression. And so I also play basketball, and then I work, and then there's, of course, the extracurriculars with SGA and all that jazz. And I think, like Morgan said, setting that goal and just knowing that you are doing a lot of things, it kind of makes yourself feel better internally, not only just knowing that you're doing it, but you're doing it well and you're doing multiple things well. And so I think that definitely keeps me on the up and up and knowing that I can just keep on striving. And so from my aspect, it's not really much of a – honestly, there is no cruising for me because even on some weekends I'm, like, traveling to tournaments and – yeah, it's just a lot. But definitely, I like being knowing that I'm busy and I'm always doing things to keep myself entertained.
Well, let's talk about the application process, because I know that's probably where most of you are at this point, right? And how did you decide where you want to apply and what you want to do? Do you know what? This is what they always say. Well, where are you going to college? And what do you want to do? What's your major? Even though, you know, really you don't have to know all that. But share with us. I'd just like to get a picture of, you know, how you decided where you want to apply and what the, I know the application process is something that's ongoing now, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So who would like to start? I'll just go around. I'll start with you, Sarah, and move that way.
Figuring out where I wanted. I think first for me, it was mostly figuring out what region of the country I kind of wanted to go to school. And I definitely want to stay on the East Coast. Florida was not an option for me initially just because I did want to go out of state. But, of course, as money becomes more of an option or an object, it's like, you know, kind of balancing out of state, in-state tuitions. Mm-hmm. But looking aside from the region, it was kind of figuring out where I thought I was going to fit in, you know, like the big university versus smaller, and how many, you know, Greek life, the sports programs. That's definitely all a factor for me, and that was all something I was looking at during my application process.
Have you decided where you're going to apply?
Where I'm going to apply? I know definitely a bunch of schools down south. I know USF I really liked, and more, I guess it's still in the south, but more closer to the north was College of Charleston in South Carolina, I really liked also. Mm-hmm. And so those are two of my big hitters, but definitely a lot more.
Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am. More.
With me, I have Florida prepaid, so I kind of want to stay in state. I don't want to stay in state, but, you know, money being a factor, that would be
that's an
the best option probably. So I'm applying to schools like UF, FSU, and then I also have been looking heavily at the University of Tennessee because I really enjoy mountains, and then I like to look at the student dynamic there, like how I compare to other students, like the majority of students there. And then I'm really into journalism and then sports, so like sports journalism and broadcasting.
Okay.
Yeah, for me, my parents have put a lot of pressure on me to go stay in state because I do have the Florida prepaid, and if you go out of state, it's obviously going to be a lot more. I have a few colleges that I think I can get into, but I'm not totally positive because I'm right there. But then I also have a lot of fallback colleges where I'm 100% sure that I can get into.
Oh, good.
So I have quite a few on my list, and I've started my applications just kind of through, like, the Common App and then the SSAR. So I'll be applying to quite a few colleges, and just kind of depending where I get into is how
And Morgan, you just have it all together.
Yeah. Well, for me, not necessarily like the application, but like still choosing where I wanted like to be. And like I had like a couple other offers and like just deciding whether, because at first I actually, University of West Florida, where I'm committed to, that was like the first school I ever toured my freshman year because I wanted to be a marine biologist and they had a very good program there. Long story short, that didn't last at all. So, like, I don't even want to do that at all. But that's kind of how I started looking at the school, and I kind of fell in love with it there. I liked the beaches. I liked the atmosphere. And for me, I knew I wanted to go to a school with a football team. I wanted to go to a school near the beach. So, anyway, a couple other schools I was looking at just didn't have that. And so, and I also think a really big part for me was actually going to the campus and touring. I don't know. For me, though, every campus I went to, I was like, oh, I can see myself here. I love it. I can. So, like, it was kind of harder, but it definitely gave me a better grasp on, like, the dynamics of the school and, like, the pictures are great and the reviews and, like, what you hear about the school and the average test scores are definitely important. But I think that actually going and seeing the town and seeing how far, knowing if you are a person that can live far away from home, or if you aren't, and just your different circumstances, just outweighing. For me, what I did was I kind of made like way too many pros and cons lists for different schools and different things, and that really just made me like sit down and like pick out what I wanted in a school, and then if that was possible at all, but different stuff like that, just making sure you know.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that, Morgan, because I think it's important for people to hear that just going to visit the campus is really important. You can get much more of a feel than just looking at even a video.
Yeah.
And so I think that's an important part of it. And what about you, Hannah?
I guess on college visits for a second. There's a significant financial barrier for a lot of people to visit, especially if they, like, I know there's a lot of really beautiful Ivy Leagues in New England that I would love to go to, but there's, I invested in looking at college visit programs, like free college visit programs, mm-hmm. and I'm so excited. I get to go to MIT for 3 days, and they're paying for my airfare. And I know, like, I'm going to see the Lincoln Laboratory, and I'm gonna like cry. So that'll be important. I know in my college decision process. But
is MIT an option that you're considering?
Yeah, I think I've managed to get my scores within like the median score range for like a lot of the, you know, lofty Ivies that I would love to go to. And I think I was fine with the state school, but during my junior year, I got bit with like the Ivy bug because I felt like it would be just like a great way to verify all of the hard work that I've been putting into my academics.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm shooting for the stars right now.
Why not? Go for it. Yeah, that's the way to do it. I think that's great. You tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? Tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollifield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome again Callie King, Sarah McCracken, Lauren Shirley, Hannah Kuros, and Morgan Settle. Again, I want to thank you young women for coming here and sharing your experiences and what you're going through at this point. And when you think about, this senior year, how do you stay focused? How do you, not stray, I guess? Do you have any suggestions and tips in that? Because it's very easy for you to digress and do something else other than what needs to be addressed.
I really think time management is a huge factor in that, for sure. Like, keeping a planner and just kind of writing when you need to do something, and like when you write it down on this day, like you need to get it done on this day, and not procrastinating will definitely help you out, because you get so much done without even realizing it. When you just kind of break it up into small chunks.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like a timeline and saying, I want to get this done here.
Yeah.
I get this done here.
And if you have a ton of questions, just kind of breaking it up and doing a little at a time instead of waiting to the last minute when you're just stressing out about it. And
that's hard to do.
Always be your best work.
To learn not to wait till the last minute.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's hard.
Yeah.
You don't look like it's hard. Look.
No, it's definitely difficult. I agree with what Hannah was saying earlier, to definitely surround yourself with people that challenge you, because it's definitely a motivator. In classes, grades like A, B, C, D, F, just looking at that and looking where you're at, I find it like a motivator as well to just like do better, just knowing what you have and that you can improve, and knowing where you can be, like comparing yourself to other people. I feel like that works well. Not procrastinating also works well. And just finding what you're passionate at and, like, doing what you enjoy in school, like, finding out what you like and what you're interested in, and I think that that'll help you a lot, so you don't have to be so, like, oh, my gosh, I have to do this. Like, you know where it'll take you and, like, what you're interested in.
Sarah?
I think my school, really, Florida High, I think they do a great job of keeping you on track. Honestly, as a senior, I feel like I have no option to stray off and take another route that won't lead me to success, because my teachers and administration, they push it so heavily. It's almost like it's always in our face type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just making sure that everyone who comes out of Florida High will be a great success and a product of the school. And I think that they do a good job of preparing us in that aspect for staying focused.
Okay.
I think Lauren and Sarah hit on this earlier, but when you're a senior, some students end up being in officer positions, and they're given a lot more responsibility when it comes to running things like that go on at the school. Like, I know at Rickards, we host the Rickards Invitational Math Competition, and students that are involved in Mayo end up running that. Basically, like, they have sponsors that help them, but they end up doing a lot of the work for that on their own. And I think seniors are generally more invested in their school, and I know I love Rickards so much, and I want to do everything I can my senior year to leave like a positive mark on it and to improve it in ways that I can. So if you're in a position where you have responsibility, if you slack off, then a lot of things fall apart. So that's a motivator. Also, I think there's an impulse to finish strong too, just because it would be bad if all of your academic efforts culminated in a giant brain fart for two semesters. So I think, I have an impulse to, tie, a nice little ribbon on my high school career and to just get everything done that I can to make sure that it's good.
Okay.
I think that the whole idea of, college definitely, even though it stresses people out way more than it should, and it definitely puts a burden on people, it definitely keeps them from not doing anything, and it does make you want to try harder for the most part. And some people shut down, but most people try harder and they put more effort into their work. So I think that, even though it most of the time causes more hurt than good in the long run, it causes seniors to not slack off all the way their senior year. And just like Hannah said, more responsibilities are given to seniors as far as presidents of any clubs or any responsibilities given out of school, just because there's so many more students looking up to them as setting an example.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some students don't necessarily care what other people think or what mark they leave, but I think for the most part, not only representing your class in a positive way, but representing yourself and just leaving a good example. So
what role can parents play in aiding you, assisting you, supporting you through this year? Parents always ask me, well, get their opinions about where we sit. Are there things that parents can do that you think that may make it easier for you? Because all of you are saying, yeah, we're doing it and it's going well. But your one common thing is it is stressful. That's what I hear from you all. It is a stress that is definitely there. You have to learn how to negotiate and navigate, but it's a stress. It's a demand, and I'm just wondering, when you look at the big picture and you look at all the different little components of that picture, what role can parents play? Yeah, Lauren.
I think that it's important that especially looking at colleges, that if parents have parameters or things that they want you to know, that they go ahead and tell you well in advance of senior year, so you're not as stressed out senior year when they tell you, oh, we don't want you doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go ahead and set what you want to do individually on what you're able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that parents can play a role by doing that. Also, just constantly asking the student what they're interested in, if anything's changing, if they can help them with anything. That helps too, for sure. But just with college applications, just making sure that the student knows what their potential is. And then the parent just being supportive of whatever decision that the student makes, just letting them know that they're there to support.
Okay. Yeah, but
Yeah, I totally agree. I think she hit pretty much all the points. Definitely the support for me anyways, and I'm sure for all of us, is a great factor, because I know knowing that somebody's there telling me I'm going to do fine, whatever I choose to do, they're confident, that's something that I feel like anyone always likes to hear. And then also just not necessarily nagging, but I know, especially my mom, she probably won't let me say this, but she's constantly telling me, okay, well, let's knock out this application today, and let's apply for this scholarship, and who are you going to contact today? And so being
and
on
that's
top
good.
Of, yeah, it's very, I can't tell you how helpful it is, because even when I find myself slipping and kind of getting drowned in schoolwork and all this and that, she definitely keeps me on my toes, and knowing that she's kind of there pushing me, as well as my dad. He definitely does a lot, too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's always a great push to have and a backbone to have behind me.
Yeah.
Well, I think, like, college is obviously a lot about independence and becoming your own person and, like, becoming a young adult. I think that, like, it is nice to have, like, your parent like help you this last bit they can, because most people are moving away from home. So like giving this last like moral support from like the people who know you best and the people that know everything about you, know, well, for the most part, know your wants and like your capabilities. So I think that like moral support and like just like helping in any way you can with like applications or with, if they can, taking you to visits and, like, having their input and what they think is best for you, because parents, for the most part, do know whether you're, like, in the, I don't know, there's been a lot of examples in my life where I didn't think I was right, but in the long run, my parents were. And so I think just, like, while it is a time of independence, I think that, like, a last little push of, like, encouragement and, like, help would benefit most seniors.
Anything you like? Either one of you would like to add?
I think the most important thing that a parent can do, besides being transparent and letting you know what your financial reality is just being understanding. Because I know, like, I'm at the end of the college admissions rat race, and there are times I feel like it's making me lose my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I know sometimes my mother will ask me, like, oh, Hannah, like, why don't we spend more time watching The Bachelor together? You know, like, why have our, like, fun little routines kind of fallen away?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of just have to say, like, Mom, like, I love you. You're my favorite person ever. But, like, I have so many things to do. And my mom is, like, very receptive to that, which is really nice. She'll, like, if she sees that I'm freaking out, she'll, like, bring me Chick-fil-A or something or just do little things that, like, show me that she understands the pressure that I'm under and that, like, that she's trying to, like, give me my space but also let me know that she's there. And that's really helpful. And I know my dad is also fantastic with, like, helping me with test prep, helping me with school assignments, keeping me on my toes about SAT and ACT registration deadlines, which is helpful. So I think the parents need to be involved, but they also need to understand, I don't know, that it's, like, I don't think it's college admissions are a traumatic thing, but they're certainly, like, it's just, like, it's a lot, you know? And I think the parents need to be understanding of that reality.
What about fears? I mean, you all must have some fears, some anxieties. And let's just look at the fears that you may be entertaining. I mean, from changing relationships, from transitions from one place to another, you know, finances, questioning your ability. I mean, you often think, well, can I do? I mean, it is a new world. And whenever you enter something, any new milieu, it's natural to have some reservation about it. And when you think about the fears or the anxieties that you really may have, can you share some of those that you may be experiencing?
For me, it's going to be really different when I go to college, because I've been at the same school since kindergarten, so I've never had to make new friends or introduce myself to all these new people. Like, I've known them my whole life, so when I go to a college that's maybe away from home, it's going to be a really big shock to me that, you know, I won't know anybody there, and I might be away from my parents, which is going to be hard because I have such a close relationship with both my parents, being an only child. So I feel like that's going to be really hard for me, just forming those new relationships and getting to know people and finding what my interests are and everything.
And those are all valid. I mean, everything you're saying is really indeed valid, because it's a major change in your life. Yeah, so that's why I wanted to look at fears. What about you, Lauren? Do you have any?
Yeah, I have some irrational fears, of course, I'm sure every high schooler gets, but just, like, not being able to get into college. I mean, of course I'll go to college, but just, like, yeah, it's very stressful, as everybody has said. Mm-hmm. But just that, and like Kaylee said, just like friends and changing, since we've all been together since kindergarten or for mm-hmm. a long time, it's just difficult that we won't all be in the same place necessarily ever again, right, or as a class fully ever again. So that's just kind of sad and just a fear. And I guess just, like, change as a whole, being more independent. I'm a really independent person myself, but you just don't realize, like, what you have until, like, it's something new. So I guess mm-hmm. I'm just trying to enjoy senior year and, like, the last bit of high school that I can before I have to be, like, actually independent and, like, learn new things for myself. So I just, like, I don't know, I fear change, kind of, but I mean, it's a healthy thing.
Yeah, and change is always a little, you know, you should approach it with a little anxiety. And how are you approaching it, Sam?
Me approaching change, I think I'm kind of just more so saying.
Do you think about it at all, or are you just kind of putting it on the back
Honestly,
burner?
Honestly, I don't think about it often. I think knowing that I've kind of always been an outgoing person and mm-hmm. that I find it rather easy to make a new friend, I think from that aspect, I won't be so anxious or, you know, nervous about it, because I feel like me going to college is going to be a change that I'm looking forward to more to speak, more so than I'm actually fearing it. So definitely from that aspect, I know that I'll be able to kind of be comforted by the fact that others will be like me, or I'll be able to find somebody like me who can kind of be interested in the same thing. But going back to the fear thing, one thing I am a little, I guess, frightful of is just, will I be, like, crippling under pressure when I, you know, deadlines come up and it's not like I have that friend to really rely on, like, okay, you send me this, you know, all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And also, I do intend on playing basketball in college, and I know Morgan can probably attest to this because, yeah, she'll be playing softball. And I think kind of being able to balance the academics and athletics, because I do it now, but it's a whole other thing when you're flying across the country to play a game. You have to come back and be in class the next morning, you know, that thing. So that's probably the main thing I might be a little scared of, but it's nothing I can't handle, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure you will do well.
Thank you.
Yeah. I feel like I'm actually really ready for the change, because I love my parents, but they're very protective. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm waiting for them to push me out of the nest to see, like, what I can do. I think that'll be cool. But most of my anxiety center around, like, questioning whether or not I will be good enough for the schools that I want to get into. Because I think, like, when I was in elementary school, like, I got into the gifted program there, and I was, like, I had this, like, I really believed in, like, you know, the myth of my own, like, brilliance. And I thought, like, oh, my God, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to take the world by storm. And in a lot of ways, like, the college admissions, like, process is, they paint it as if it's a microcosm for how the rest of your life will go. And it, you know, like, there's a lot of different metrics that colleges use to like, determine brilliance. And if I'm not deemed by them to be, like, worthy, that will suck. So, you know, Judgment Day freaks me out a lot.
Okay. All right.
For me, just like Sarah said, like, the idea of playing in college and, like, not only having the workload, but having 6 a.m. workouts and then practice after class, too, and then traveling on week. I don't know. I just, the idea of not having enough time scares me, because mm-hmm. the whole idea of college is that you're free and you have a lot more time and you can schedule your classes at any time. But for me personally, I don't get to schedule my classes. I don't know when they're going to be. I don't know when I'm going to. I just don't know a lot of stuff. And I know I'm used to it to some extent right now, but I know everything's going to be bumped up a lot more intense. And so I just am scared that I'm not going to be able to handle it my freshman year. And I'm sure I'm going to adjust, but the transition of being independent, I'm ready for. And I think the workload I'm ready for and softball I'm ready for, but all of that together at once and in a new city where I don't know anyone and I don't know any of my teammates. And that's everyone, but mm-hmm. Just all of that hitting at once at one time is what scares me. Not necessarily, like, you don't get it broken up necessarily. It's kind of all at once, so that fear is there.
And this last minute, do you all have a bucket list? Do you all have things that you just want to make sure you do this last year?
Yeah, I think prom will be fun. I think homecoming will be fun. Okay. Like, I have to enjoy myself for, like, a second of high school.
So. Okay.
I can testify that our class is pretty tight, and like Florida High is more of like a family community. Everybody knows everybody. We get along well as a class of 2018, I would say. So we always have like homecoming week, of course, and then prom and just different like sporting events that we all like to go to. So it'll just be nice to be together for like one last time for each event, because we've just enjoyed them so much and look forward to them each year. Okay. That like, I don't know, it's just like the spirit of our class, just okay. enjoying each other.
Well, I've got to cut you off because it's that time. I want to thank my listening audience tuning in and invite you to tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. The 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Team archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.